Learning. Okay, so just like very briefly, learning Sukkot, learning Maseches Sukkah on Chanukah is actually not that unusual because the Yontiv of Chanukah was established as an 8-day Yontiv to resemble the Yontiv of Sukkot, which is an 8-day Yontiv. No, the idea basically was that during Bayis Rishon, the dedication of the Beis Hamikdash was Sukkot time. Right? That's what the Psukim and Sefer Melachim say. So during Bayis Sheni, when the Chashmonaim decided to rededicate the Mikdash, so they tried to create a new Sukkot type of experience, and that's what the Yontiv of Chanukah is about. It's a new Sukkot experience because dedication and Sukkot are somehow connected. There's got to be much more to this story, but that's what I can say as of now. Okay. Let us continue learning. We are in the middle of the Gemara on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, I believe. If you remember, just to catch us up, because last week was also Yontif, so last week we didn't learn. But the Mishnah has a case of a Sukkah HaMiduvleles, which the Gemara has a discussion. What does Miduvleles mean? Either it means an impoverished Sukkah, that there is very little Schach there, or a Sukkah Miduvleles means that it's one layer on top of the other layer, it's not completely flat. So working within that interpretation, that Miduvleles means Mibulbeles, that Miduvleles means a Sukkah that is two levels, one on top of the other. So now tonight we're going to have a conversation about what's called Chavot Rami, which is a way of leveling the roofs. That's basically the conversation that we'll have tonight. And let's go ahead. Let's get into the Gemara. Amar Abaye. It's 8 lines into the Gemara. Amar Abaye. Lo shanu ela she'ein bein zeh lezeh shlosha tfachim. Aval yesh bein zeh lezeh shlosha tfachim psula. So Abaye tells me that the halacha that if I have a sukkah that's mivolbeles, if I have a sukkah that is two levels, that halacha is only true if the upper sukkah and the lower sukkah, the upper part of the sukkah and lower part of the sukkah, are within three tefachim. If it's within three tefachim, so then the halacha is that it's called lavud. That throughout halacha, you say three tefachim is connected, even though later tonight, actually, we're going to have an opinion that will question that. But throughout normative Judaism, we assume that three tefachim connects everything. So Abaye says that this halacha in our Mishnah of a sukkah that is mivolbeles, that the sukkah is different levels, it's not flat, it's only true when there are less than three tefachim between the two levels. Avo yesh bein zeh lezeh gimel tefachim psula. If you have three tefachim, it's no good. Amar Rava afilo yesh bein zeh. Bein zeh lezeh shlosha tefachim nami lo amaran ela she'ein begagol tefach. Avo yesh begagol tefach kshera de'aminan chavot rami. Right? Rava comes and Rava tells me that no, even if you have more than three tefachim between the, even if you have more than three tefachim between them, it still is going to be kosher, providing you have one tefach, providing this thing is one tefach, then I will drop it down and I will say the rule of chavot rami. Rami means like to throw, and chavot means you bang. So you bang it and you throw it. It sounds like very violent, but that's the idea of chavot rami. You're banging it and you're throwing it. And in that case, even though there's more than three tefachim, says Rava, let's say there are five tefachim between them, it still is going to be okay. Because the rule is chavot rami, but chavot rami requires that there is a roof of a tefach. That's the basic halacha. This halacha makes it to Shulchan Aruch in terms of Hilchos Sukkah, Right? The halacha is that if I have a roof that is one tefach and it's higher up, we can lower it down. Chavot Rami levels the playing field. Ad kan, that's the sugya. The Mishnah Brura actually has a brief comment. He says that in order to say Chavot Rami, it has to be that the entire thing is one tefach. Let's say, for example, my artistic skills, as you know, are not particularly good, but let's say I have a bunch of pieces of schach, a bunch of pieces of bamboo, and each one, let's say, is a third of a tefach. Can I now say, and they're pretty close to each other. They're within lovot of each other, right? So this area that separates, right, each of these is a piece of schach. I have my lines I just drew are the space between them. But I do not have a total of one tefach of fixed material. This is a total of one tefach, but that one tefach is made up of various pieces. Let's say each one is half a tefach. Rachel, you're not getting it at all.
No, I'm saying not according to one of the opinions.
So our Gemara says I only say Chavot Rami if I have one tefach. And the Mishnah Brura tells me, halacha l'maisa, that the one tefach has to be one cohesive unit of a tefach. If I have a bunch of little pieces of bamboo and they want to join forces to become a tefach, that doesn't tell us off the Mishnah Brura. The rule of Chavot Rami requires one complete tefach. Now Rashi over here has an interesting comment on what Chavot Rami is. The Rashi that begins She'ein Begago. You see the Rashi? It is we are in the Masoras HaShas column. It says Ahalos Perek Yud Beis. It's two lines beneath that. Zok Rashi She'ein Begago. Bekana Ha'ole Rachav Tefach. In the upper beam, it's not a tefach. Delav Shem Ohel Alei La'achshuve Ulemeimar Be Chavot Rami. The upper one has to be one tefach, because one tefach is the measurement of an ohel. If it's not one tefach, so therefore we cannot say chavot rami, which means hashpel, lower it, v'hashlechol so alav yer shetachtav. But Rashi translates the words chavot rami as hashpel v'hashlech, lower it and throw it. Dahainu nami good aches. Ela le'ingen mechitza dehavi chudash ha-mechitza shaykh le'em ha-gud aches, mashochosa v'horedosa, ule'ingen ha-motza l'rochav, u'balistom avir shaykh le'em ha-chavata. Okay, so I just read that very quickly because I want one of you to try to explain to me what that is. What do the last, like, four lines of Rashi mean? Hi, Rachel.
I even was looking at, I think we talked about this last week, too. Oh, so okay. I was cheating. I'm just staring at
that. It wasn't last week. It was 2 weeks ago. So if we're saying something that we said already after.
Oh, really?
My memory does not go. Last week was Thanksgiving. I mamish have no memory from before that. So you'll have to forgive me. But what did we say 2 weeks ago? Whatever it was.
That Rashi akin the idea of Chavot Rami to good aches. But the difference is that this is horizontal.
Exactly. In other words, good aches is if I have a mechitza. Right? And good aches means I take my imaginary line and I drop it down. Chavot Rami is I also drop it down. The difference is the chavot applies to something that is horizontal. Right? And good, it applies to something that's vertical. That's what Rashi said. And apparently I explained this 2 weeks ago. So, Yashikah. Okay. Thank you. Now, the Gemara basically develops this idea called Chavot Rami, which will enable the different roofs to combine and to become a single roof. That's the yesod of Chavot Rami. Amar Rav Amina Amina Lo, Tchi Is Be Tefach Aminan Chavot Rami, Vchi Les Be Lo Aminan Chavot Rami. But Rav says, how do I know that? How do I know that when you have a Tefach, you say Chavot Rami? When you don't have a Tefach, you don't say Chavot Rami. Now, I should just add, very briefly, a Tefach is considered the minimum size of an Ohel. That halacha comes up a few places in Shas. It comes up in Hilchas Shabbos. In Hilchas Shabbos, there are dinim that you're not allowed to build an ohel. It's considered part of the malach of bona, no? But you're allowed to be mosif on an ohel. If you have an ohel that's built already, you can add on to it. For example, if I have a stroller and there's a cover on the stroller, am I allowed to pull that cover and cover up the baby? So if you have a tefach already spread out, then you're allowed to pull the cover. The din is that a tefach is the minimum size of an ohel. If I have a tefach that remains the whole time, so then I'm just extending the ohel. I'm not building an ohel. One tefach is a measurement of an ohel on Hilchos Shabbos. One tefach is a measurement of ohel in Hilchos Tumah that we'll talk about right now. That if you have a corpse underneath something that's a tefach, so then the halacha of Tumas ohel sets in. One tefach seems to be a meaningless concept in Hilchos Sukkah. In Hilchos Sukkah, the significant shiurim are 10 tefachim. No, 10 tefachim is the height of the sukkah. The length and width of the sukkah has to be 7 by 7. One tefach seems to be a meaningless category in Hilchos Sukkah. Nonetheless, our Gemara, and this is like the magic of our Gemara, and when you think about it, it like makes you try to pull your hair out already. Like, how is our Gemara invoking the halachos of Tum'ah, right? And saying, oh, how do you know that one tefach is sufficient for Chavot Rami? Oh, I'll prove it from Hilchos Tum'ah. Well, hold it. Hilchos Tum'ah, I understand, one tefach is relevant. But who says it's relevant in Hilchos Sukkah? That's an issue that we have to think about. But the Gemara is making that assertion. So far, so good, Chevra? Now let's learn the Gemara inside. Amar Rava.
Can I ask a question or no?
I give you permission, Zoe. Yes. You always have permission.
Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz. My question is, we did have another measure of Tefachim, which was 3 or 4 to do with the Neser, the board.
Right. We had another measurement of Tefachim, 3 or 4, in terms of what's considered the Gezerah, that it doesn't look like a sukkah. It looks like a full-fledged ceiling. Right, so we had that discussion, 3 tefachim or 4 tefachim, absolutely. But one tefach I haven't yet found in Hilchos Sukkah, right? One tefach is only found in Hilchos Sukkah, right? To the best of my knowledge, it's only found on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph for purposes of Chavot Rami. I've spent a lot of time on Dinim of Tefach, but not yet one. Rachel, you had a comment, or?
I'm just trying to jog my memory, because I feel like we have talked about one tefach, maybe with sukkah, gabe sukkah.
Yeah, we had the question of like, what is the minimum? And there was an argument that one tefach could be suitable, but then that was rejected. Sorry, I should.
I mean, well, there were three opinions in the Gemara about when I have one sukkah on top of another sukkah, right? So, right in that sukkah, how much space do you need between the two sukkahs, right? What was it? Was it 4 tefachim or 1 tefach or 10 tefachim, right? So yes, we did have one opinion of one tefach, but as Dr. Lang, I forgot, we have to be formal, as Dr. Lang pointed out, it doesn't seem to get traction.
Also, that was brought because it is the measure of ohel, if I remember correctly.
It's exactly. In other words, in that Gemara, we try to invoke the shear of ohel, right? That's where we see one tefach is relevant. And it was a borrowed term from Ohel. And here also we're borrowing from Ohel, although it seems weird. That's basically the point I'm trying to make. Hello, Ms. Gutman.
I just was like going back a few lines and I realized I wasn't following. There was a Abaye right before this was saying something about Shlosha.
Right, so Abaye before is saying the regular halacha of Lavod, that if the upper one is within three of the lower one, so we connect them. More than three, we don't connect them. That's Abaye. That's like a standard thing in halacha, that Lavod connects. Rava's chiddush in our Gemara is that there's a new concept called Chavot Rami. Right? That's what Rava is proving. And Zakti Gemara.
Okay.
Rava Minala. Yeah.
Abaye doesn't hold of Chavot Rami? Or he doesn't
Abaye says it does not exist. It is not part of his lexicon. Right? We learned a Mishnah in Ahalos. Koros habayis ha'aliyah she'ein aleihem ma'azeva ve'hein mechuvanot. Okay, if I have boards of a home and an attic, and there is no ma'azeva on them. So let's say... Okay, this is going to require some better art skills. I have the way I make a roof usually in their times is I have a bunch of boards, no? And ordinarily what you would do is you would put like some tar on top of the boards and that would create a ceiling. But I didn't yet put the tar down, so I just have boards. So I have a koros habayis v'ha'aliyah, right? I have a lower one, right? The bayis, that's the lower one. And the upper one is the aliyah, is the attic. And in aleihem azeva, there is no tar on them. Behein mechuvanot. And they are mechuvan. Mechuvan means that they are exactly next to the other. Meaning if I would draw the line, it would fit in exactly. That's mechuvanot. So tuma tachas achas mehen, tachteha tame. If there's tuma underneath one of them, that one is tame, right? So let's say I have my corpse, right, over here, right, dead person. So the area underneath this is going to be tame. Bein ha-tachtona la-elyona, let's say you have a corpse between these two things, beinehen tomei, then the area between, actually I said it backwards, mechuvanot at this point means like this, right? One is right on top of the other, so I have my corpse between the two things, between the two levels, so the tuma is right over here. So the tuma is between lower level and upper level. That's the tuma. If I have my corpse on top of the upper level, so then the tuma goes all the way up. That's what the Mishnah Ahalo says. Kenegda adlarakia tame. The tuma goes all the way up till the heaven. Hayu ha'elyonos kibein ha'tachtonos. Let's say the upper ones are kibin hatachtonos. Right? What does this mean? If the upper ones are like, is that the case? Hoya ha'oyonos kibin hatachtonos. That it's not one on top of the other, but the upper one is keneged the avir of the tachtonos. So let's say, actually, something we've shown him over here, the Ritva draws a picture. The Oyonos, in this case, is Michuvan to the airspace by the Tachtonos. Right? This is the lower ceiling. This is the upper ceiling. If the Oyonos are Kibena Tachtonos, Tuma Tachtehen, Tachas Kulon Tomei. If there's Tuma underneath any of them, so the tuma goes all over this whole area. Al gabehen. One second. If the upper one is in that airspace, right between the lower ones, tuma tachtehen, tachas kulon tamei. There's tuma underneath them, so then the tuma spreads to the entire area. Al gabehen, if the tuma's on top, right? So then the tuma goes kinegda an rakia tamei. Vitani Allah, right? If the tuma's on top, so then the tuma goes all the way up to the rakia, up to the heaven. Vitani Allah, and the braisa, Tosis over here quotes that the braisa is a tosefta on ahalos, which is commenting on the Mishnah. There's some detailed issues in the girsa, the difference between the Mishnah and the tosefta. That's already, I used to say in shir, like when there's a detailed issue I didn't want to get on into, I used to say, oh, this is advanced Talmud and let's go on. So one semester, one of my students in Stern raised her hand and she's like, but you know, this class is listed as advanced Talmud. So I realized I can't use that line anymore. But Mitani Allah, the Brisa says, "Bamed amurim bisman sheyesh bahen tefach ubeinehem poseach tefach. Aval ein beinehem poseach tefach. If you do not have a tefach between them, tuma tachas achas mehen tachteha tamei beinehem agabehen tahar. Alma kis be tefach amin chavot rami v'chiles be tefach lo amin chavot rami shmamina." Right. Basically, the Brisa in commenting on the Mishnah says that this case means that this board, right, again, I have the lower level and I have the upper level on top of it. It has to be that you have one tefach over here. This board is one tefach. If the board is not one tefach, right, and one tefach here probably means length, not the width, right? So if I have one tefach, then I'll say chavot rami. But right, if I do not have one tefach, let's say I have only 3/4 of a tefach, then I don't say chavot rami. That's what I see. But we are saying over here that the principle of chavot rami applies only when you have one tefach. And this proves the assertion that Rava made earlier that when you have a tefach, you say chavot rami. You don't have a tefach, you don't say chavot rami. That's the basic halacha that we have. But we are seemingly working with this principle that it has to be mechuvanot, meaning that the upper one has to fit in exactly with the lower one. Right? So if the upper one, let's say, is exactly one tefach, so you need one tefach of empty space between the two lower ones. Let's say I would have only 3/4 of a tefach of space between the upper and the lower. Should probably use different pictures, no? Different colors. If I, right, let's say now I only have 3/4 of a tefach between them, and this is one tefach, I can't say chavot rami. It has to be mechuvan. That's the halacha that appears in our Gemara. Chavot rami is a way of putting the pieces in. It's like the puzzle pieces. They have to fit exactly. If it doesn't fit exactly, we do not say chavot rami, meaning we know two rules about chavot rami. One rule is that it has to be a tefach. The other rule is that chavot rami applies only if it is mechuvan. That was the lashon of the Gemara. Just to raise one small point that I was trying to get at when I gave out the sources this week, our Gemara seems clearly that there is a requirement of mechuvan by chavot rami, and that makes it in Hilchos Sukkah. In Hilchos Sukkah, the case of they have the lower and the upper, I only say chavot rami if they are exactly connecting, right? In this case, I would not say chavot rami because there is going to be a teeny bit of overlap, no? That's the way it appears in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Sukkah. It's not at all clear, however, what about the following case? Let's say I have empty space here of three tefachim, and I have a upper one, which is two tefachim. Can I say Chavot Rami in this case? The simple understanding is that Mechuvan comes to tell me, oh, it can't be that if it's four tefachim, you'll say Chavot Rami, because you're not going to drop it down to just have one overlap the other. But will I drop something down if it's two? Can I drop it down? And now I filled in some of the lower level. And then Lovod will do the rest of the trick. Do I allow you to do that in Hilchos Sukkah?
Didn't we once say you can't do two things?
So yes. So we had a concept on Daf Hey, very long time ago, that we might not say two halachah l'moshe misinais together. So many of the Achronim say that this case will not work. Mechuvan means mechuvan. That really means that Chavot Rami is quite rare. It's not going to happen that often. It's got to be only when they are exactly the pizza's mamish fit, right? Like you have a carpenter, right? To the exact specifications, to the 1/8 of an inch or whatever, the margin of error is, obviously nothing can be exact. In halacha, we have a principle of Eif Shalit Tzamtzeim. You cannot be 100% exact, but as exact as you can be, that is what's necessary. Hello, Ms. Gutman.
I just wanted to know what the word mechuvan, it means intentioned.
So mechuvan, I would say, means exactitude over here. Kivon in Hebrew means direction. It also means intention. I would say in this case, it's more in line with the directional translation of kivon. Mechuvan means it fits exactly into place.
Okay. And then I had another question of why when it's overhanging, would Chavot Rami not apply?
So the Gemara is saying that it doesn't apply because apparently Chavot Rami creates tziruf between the way Reb Chaim has a term in his sefer is that Chavot Rami creates tziruf between two gagen. It connects two roofs. But if I have overlap, so then I'm not really connecting two roofs because people don't make a roof with like one part over the other. That's not a normal way of making a roof. If I want to be mitzaref the roofs, I have two roofs apart and I want to connect them. Okay, so that I could do. Now, in this case, they're apart. I want to connect them in this direction. That's okay. But to do it like this, right, you're not going to be mitzaref roofs that way. I think it's just a construction type of svarim more than anything else.
But we also had the idea of tziruf before, and I don't remember a lot of the things about it, but I also don't remember there being like an overlap issue that it wouldn't apply if they're overlapping. It was like with the tree. No, maybe not.
For shade, we had tziruf for shade and we had tziruf with the sheets.
Right. We had tziruf in terms of combining what the puzzle schach with the kosher schach, those types of issues.
Right.
Again, I'm not sure. I'm not saying a principle in tziruf in general that if you have overlap, it can't connect. What I'm saying is that this halacha of roof dropping only applies when there's no overlap. Now, I should note, before I take Dr. Lang's question, I should note that there is a whole discussion here in some of the svarim. How come our Gemara is only talking about chavot rami, which means dropping the upper roof? Theoretically, we could talk about raising the lower roof. But if the halacha says that once something is a tefach, it has a shame gag, a shame mechitza, so then we have in halachos of good, I have good aches and good asik, right? And we're more likely to say good asik. I'm more likely to say if I have a mechitza down here, I'll use my halachic imagination and raise it up. Rather than if I have a mechitza up here, I don't use my halachic imagination to trap it down. Yet over here by the roofs, we go in the opposite direction. We say that we lower the upper, we don't upper the lower.
Could it be rove?
Again?
Like, I don't know, the pictures we're drawing have all three, so it's like rove of them are down here, so you have to bring it down.
Oh, interesting. So I don't know if it's based on rove, because like I happen to just draw the pictures that way. I don't think it has to be that way from the Gemara, but it's not exactly clear, and theoretically, you could create a nafgamina in these cases, but conceptually, we seem to be lowering the upper roof. We are not raising the lower one. Zoe, you had a comment?
I have a question. Well, I have two questions. Question one, I think, is fast. This qualifies as halakha l'moshe misinai because they're shirim, or?
Well, these are probably mechitzin. In other words, shiurin, chatzitza, and mechitza is halacha l'moshe misinai. So mechitza, the Gemara said, is dofen akuma and gold and lavud. And okay, as so Rashi commented earlier, this is a subset of gold.
Okay. My second question had to do, I was really hoping you were going to keep that diagram up. If we have the situation with four tefachim that doesn't fit exactly because we only have like, two tefach gap. Right, so we have the over.
Right.
Okay, so what happens if there's a corpse underneath one of the bottom ones?
So the simple halacha would be if there's a corpse underneath one of the bottom ones in this case. So this area is tamei, but the tumah would not go and spread the entire way. That would be the simple reading of the halacha. And this is the way it's pasked in Hilchos Sukkah. However, in Hilchos Tumas Ohel, Tumas Kohanim, in Yeredeya Simin Shin Ayin Aleph, this requirement of Mechuvan is not there. Let me give you an example. A lot of you are not in Washington Heights, so you probably don't know what the front of Mount Sinai looks like. But hi, Tanya. Okay. So if you would know what the front of Mount Sinai looks like, and I assume it's probably not only Mount Sinai, there's like, this is the main building. And they have like stairs over here. And there's like a little roof on top of the stairs. And the roof of the main building kind of overhangs the roof of the main stairs a teeny bit. So one of the shailas is, can Kohanim stand on the stairs when there's a funeral in the building? Now, if I would just read our Gemara, I would say, listen, there's no din of chavot rami in this case. So I don't lower the upper roof. So that means it's like two separate areas. So I'm under the lower roof and me, my Kohen, and I, we can all be here. And that's not a problem. Yet in Yeredeh and Hilchos Tumah, we just say, Chavot Rami, if you have a tefach, you lower it, and it becomes Tameh, end of conversation. And it's very hard to know exactly why. We have the requirement of Mechuvan in Hilchos Sukkah, and we don't have it in Hilchos Tumah, when in our Gemara, we are learning Hilchos Sukkah from Hilchos Tumah, and the word Mechuvan in our Gemara appears by Hilchos Tumah, not by Hilchos Sukkah. So this is already getting problematic in terms of when I say Chavot Rami, when I don't say Chavot Rami, it is not at all simple. This comes up all the time in hospitals, no? Very often a hospital has like a rotunda in the middle, no? So it's like a big wide area. And let's say you have a curved arch on top. So if you have a dead body in this part of the hospital, does the tumah go and spread all the way through it? This is, in Israel, these shilohs are much more difficult because the dead bodies are presumed to be Jewish. In America, we can assume that most of the corpses are non-Jews, so it's easier for Kohanim to go to hospitals. But in Israel, it's very difficult. I think in Shaarei Tzedek, they still have like a sign up, like Kohanim enter and don't enter, depending on whether there's any corpses in the building. Like, it's like very weird. The first moment when someone dies, like a guy goes and changes the sign right in front of the building. No, Kohanim does not come in. But again, these halachos of Chavot Rami are very relevant for Hilchos Tumah. For some reason, which Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach is very bothered by, he works very hard on this in his Shiurim, how come the requirement of Mechuvan does not make it to Hilchos Tumah? Did any of you take a look at what it says in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Sukkah? Okay. So if you look at it after the shiur, in Hilchos Sukkah and Tafresh Lamed Aleph, and the source that I gave, it's interesting because the Mechaber uses the word Mechuvan. The Ramah never uses that word Mechuvan. Right? In Shulchan Aruch, it talks about exactly our case. The Sukkah is Mivol Baal. Some of it is on top, some of it is on bottom. So if there's a tefach, even though it's very high up, we say it drops down. Right, that's what the Mechaber writes. Tafresh Lamed Aleph Seif Hei. The Ramah writes Dehainu. The Ramah explains that the word Mechuvan does not really mean Mechuvan. The Ramah writes Dehainu Sheyesh Bavir Shebein Atachton Tafach Shiraui Laho Rid HaElyon. You get an impression from the Ramah that he understands Mechuvan the following way. Let's say this is 2, and this is 4. The Ramah understands Mechuvan means that there's enough space to drop it down. But it doesn't have to be an exact fit. The Mechaber sounds like Mechuvan means it has to be an exact fit. The Mishnah Brura and the Bir Halacha raises this issue, but it is worth noting that the Ramah never uses that word Mechuvan. The Mechaber does, not the Ramah. Okay. Should we go on in Gemara? Okay. I guess we're going to go on. Sima, we should go on? Is it 3 o'clock in the morning for you now or 2 o'clock? I didn't hear, but that's okay. It's probably, my guess is it's like 2, right? It's 6 hours now or 7?
7. 3.
3 a.m. Okay. This is, you get the world record for Hasmada all the time. Okay, Zakti Gemara. It's like 5 lines before the lines get wide. Yosef Rav Kahana b'kamer l'hashmeitza. Rav Kahana is sitting and he is repeating the sugya. I always thought what this meant was that it's like a student comes back from yeshiva and sits down and everyone asks, so what are you learning? So he repeats what he learned. That's why I understood Yosef. I don't think it means that he's like delivering a shiur. I think it just means that Rav Kahana sits down, he repeats the story. So I'm like, Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana, b'chol heichad les b'tefach lo amin l'chavot rami. So Rav Ashi asks, are you going to tell me that when you don't have a tefach, you don't say chavot rami? V'latanya, but we have the following braisa. Okay, the halacha in Erevin, not Erevin as in modern day Erevin, but Erevin in the time, in the Mishnayis, in the Gemara, is that you have something called a mavoi. Right? A mavoi is that you have, actually I already drew the picture wrong. Okay, you have a few homes, and the homes share a courtyard, right? So all these homes together share, right, one courtyard. That's a chatzer. Then I have a bunch of other homes over here, and they also share a chatzer, but the chatzeros open into a mavoi. The mavoi is the area where the courtyards open into. Right? That's the mavoi. Some of the poskim assume that in our apartment buildings, so my apartment is a bayis, the chatzer is the hallway outside. The mavoi is where the hallways empty into, which would be the entranceway to the building. The lobby of the building is the equivalent of a mavoi. Now, the Mishnayos at the beginning of Erevin said, we already encountered this way back when in Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that if you have a mavoi, there are two ways to permit carrying in the mavoi. A mavoi has three walls, but midrabanan, you're not allowed to carry unless you have a lechi, which is a vertical post that sticks up. And halachically, once I have that vertical post, that enables me to carry. I draw like an imaginary line and I could carry there. Alternatively, instead of a lechi, what I can have is a korah. A korah is a beam. A korah is a beam that goes from wall to wall. It's high up. It can't be above 20 amos, right? But imagine these are the walls, so the beam is on top of it. That's a korah. The korah has to be strong enough to accept a brick. It requires enough strength that an ariach, which is like actually half a brick, could rest on it. That's a detail within these halachos, and we'll encounter this in a minute. Let's say I have a korah that goes from this wall, and it doesn't reach the other one. That means I have two korahs, right? And they're not touching. V'atanya, we learned a braisa. Korah hayotza mikotel zeh, ve'ena noga'at bekotel zeh. Or actually, I drew it wrong. Let's go to my eraser. Right? I have a beam that goes from one wall, and it doesn't make it all the way to the other wall. Right? It just doesn't get all the way. V'chein, shtei korot. Also, if I have two beams, achat yotze mikotel zeh, v'achat yotza mikotel zeh, ve'ena nogot zu mizu. Or I have another case, right? I have a mavoi again, and I have two beams. One goes from this wall, one goes to the other one. They don't touch. That's like the old joke about they hire two guys to dig the tunnel, no? And each of them has a shovel, and they try to dig a tunnel. And they're like, what happens if you don't touch? The answer is, well, then you have two tunnels. But the point is that over here, I have two beams. They're not touching. Pachos mi shlosha eino tzarech l'havikara acheret. Shlosha tzarech l'havikara acheret. If the space between these is less than three, you don't need another korah. We connect them. That's our rule of lavud. If it's more than three, we don't say lavud. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel has a different opinion than the rest of Judaism. He says, turning over the page, Pachot me arba'a in tzarech l'havikara acheret. Arba'a tzarech l'havikara acheret. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that lavud is not three. Lavud is four. Four tefachim is the amount to connect things. It's interesting that the Gemara in one place in Shabbos says that lavud is based on just a mitzios. The Gemara says it's efshar le rishus hayachid lehilaket bimlaket rehitni. That grounds won't be completely leveled. So if I have like a mechitza, right, the ground is going to like bump a little bit. It's not going to be exactly level. So within three tefachim, it's good enough because that's the assumed. It's within the margin of error. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that four tefachim is the margin of error, not three. I don't know if there's any like real lumdisha point. The only point that's worth noting is that lavud we said is a halacha l'moshe misinai. No? The Rambam tells me that halacha l'moshe misinai there can't be any machlokas about. Because halacha l'moshe misinai means that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and our entire tradition is based on the authenticity of what Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with. So you can't have a dispute, Zach the Rambam, about halacha l'moshe misinai. It's not shaykh to have a machlokas. So the Chavos Ya'ir has a massively long tshuva, where he, by the way, Chavos Ya'ir is Rabbi Ya'ir Bachrach. He named the sefer Chavos Ya'ir after his mother, who was named Chava, because he was about to publish the sefer with a different name, and his mother Chava died, and he decided to name the sefer after her. Okay. So the Chavos Ya'ir in a very long tshuva gives you, he's like, oh yeah, the Rambam has a rule that there is no machlokas by halacha l'moshe misinai, but I have like basically 120 cases in Shas where there is a machlokas by halacha l'moshe misinai. What are you going to do about this one, Maimonides? And he works very hard on each case. But many of them, like this one, I don't know the satisfactory answer. There's a halacha l'moshe misinai of lafod. No? So how can there be a machlokas, whether it's three tefachim or four tefachim? That's already problematic. Hello, Tanya.
Hi. So I'm probably being very simple-minded, but I feel like it's a different kind of machlokas than when we say shivim panim l'Torah, Torah lo b'shamayimi. In this case, we're just not clear what the Masorah that we have is. So there's one halacha Moshe Misinai, and the machlokas is, we're not sure what we know it, but when you have other machlokas, those seem essentially different in kind.
I think, if I understand you correctly, I think what you're saying is that there's no machlokas over here whether lavud exists. There's a machlokas about a detail within lavud.
It just seems, I don't want to overstate it because maybe I'm being very simple, but it just seems like we don't happen to know this thing. It's right. Not like we have different opinions, the Chazal, they don't have different opinions about what it is.
I'm just not sure why that would really matter. In other words, I think what the point that the Rambam is getting at is that to believe that our Torah is absolutely accurate, that means that what Moshe Rabbeinu was taught at Har Sinai was transmitted exactly to us. Right, so halacha l'moshe misinai, you can't have a machlokas about whether tefillin is black. It's not possible. It doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash tefillin is black. Yeah, but Moshe Rabbeinu taught at Har Sinai that tefillin is black. Ad kan. That's all you need to know. There's no machlokas. So also, if Moshe Rabbeinu taught that there's a din of lavod at Har Sinai, right, and he teaches a din of lavod as being three or four, how can there be a machlokas whether it's three or four? A machlokas would mean that there is something that went wrong in the line of transmission. And the point that we're exactly trying to say can't be stated is that there's any machlokas about the transmission. Any question about the transmission calls into question the entire accuracy of Torah. Dr. Lang.
Isn't part of this issue, though, that this has been also preserved by the Gemara? So let's say that there's some, I can think of it like there's somebody who holds that like a crazy position, which is something that could happen. Like somebody just holds a crazy position, but the Gemara doesn't preserve that because that isn't what gets passed along. Like it seems to me that part of the significance here is that we record this at all and that it comes forward.
Again, if I understand you correctly, what you're saying is Actually, I don't think I understand you correctly. Let me ask you to repeat what you said.
Sure. Let's say somebody holds a position that flax cannot be mekabel tuma, which is crazy because we know it can. It's very clear. The Mishnah makes that very clear. We say it every shot, or some of us say it every Friday night. Let's say there's somebody who holds that that's not true. The fact that it's preserved in the Gemara seems more significant to me. Like the fact that we have here Rabbi Shimon Gamliel saying, I say it's four, that seems more significant. And that like the Rambam seems to be trying to, I can't speak to how many times that there is this kind of debate, but it seems deeply significant to me that we would have anyone putting this forward and that that gets preserved. We could just say this is crazy guy who says it's four, but none of us believe it. We're not keeping that going in our Mizora.
In other words, I think you're making the question stronger in some level. You're saying the fact that this appears in the Gemara means that we're giving it some weight. Well, okay. Yeah, maybe there were machlokasim throughout history. Maybe there were people who questioned halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. But let's be honest, they were excommunicated. They're gone. We don't care about them. But the fact that our Gemara is endorsing such a shita, I think that really strengthens the question. Yeah. Oh. Okay, so let's just go on, right? So we have a question. Again, Rav Kahana reported this statement that if you are one tefach, we say chavot rami. So the Gemara says, well, Rav Ashi asked on him from these cases. Rav Ashi asked from cases of Bakura. One second. Was that my door that rang? Just wait one second. So Rav Ashi asks from cases of Akora, where let's say the case that we just encountered is if I have two beams, right, and they don't touch, so how far apart can they be, right? So there's a machlokes. Shimon Gamliel says four, and everyone else says three. The thing, shtei koros hamas imos, right, on Amid Beis, three lines on the top. If you have two twin koros, lo bazuka de lekabel riach, lo bazuka de lekabel riach. Let's go. And the halacha is that you have a mavoi, and the mavoi has a korah, and the korah has to be strong enough that a brick can lay on it. Let's say I have two korahs, and they are not, each one is not strong enough for the brick to lie on it. So in Mekablos, Oriach l'rachbo tefach, ein sarach l'havi kor acheres. Vim lav, sarach l'havi kor acheres. The first opinion is that if you have two korahs, two beams, they have to be able to be makaba and ariach l'rachbo. The width way, they have to, right, you put the brick this way, they have to be able to accept a korah. They have to be able to accept a brick, excuse me.
Reb Shimon Gamliel says, in makabos ariach l'arko, shloshet tzvachim min tzvach habi korah cheres, im lav tzvach l'habi
Karacheres. Rishim Gamliel says, again, none of this is really relevant for Rav Ashi's Kasha. Rishim Gamliel says that we're not talking about getting the brick widthwise, talking about getting the brick lengthwise. That would mean the koras do not have to be as strong, no? To receive the brick widthwise, so you have more weight in a more condensed area, it has to be a stronger support. If it's lengthwise, it could be a weaker sort of support, and it will remain.
Okay.
Now we're getting to the part that's relevant for us. Let's say you have two korahs, and one is higher than the other. Achas lamala, v'achas lamata.
One is higher than the other. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Ro'en ha'elyona kiluhi lamata, v'shatachtona kiluhi lamayla.
Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says that you connect them. The upper one is lowered. The lower one is raised.
Umuvan shalotei elyona lamala me'esrim ama, v'tachtona lamata me'asara. Hazer v'zer b'toch esrim, aminan chavot rami, afagav d'lesbei
tefach. Basically, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, it's probably going to be easier if I draw the picture the other way. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, if I have two beams, one on top of the other, so he says, you know what? You can lower them, raise them, you can combine them, providing that the upper one is not above 20 and the lower one is not beneath 10 tefach. Right? The upper one is not over 20 amma and the lower one is not beneath 10 tefach. If not, you can combine them. The Gemara says, one second, how am I combining them? I'm probably combining them based on our old, dear, beloved friend called Chavot Rami, because I'm squishing them together. But one second, if I'm talking about a Korah that is not a Tefach, if the Korah is not a Tefach, how can I say Chavot Rami to squeeze it together? It's not a Tefach. So the Gemara is bothered by the Kasha. We just said that you only say Chavot Rami if there's a Tefach. But we see within the position of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa that we'll say Chavot Rami and the Korah is not a Tefach. So how can you say Chavot Rami in this case? So the Gemara basically answers that according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to say not Chavot Rami, but I'm going to say lavud. The conclusion, the Gemara, right before the two dots, is that we're talking about that's within three tfachim of each other. And once it's within three tfachim of each other, you do not need the rules of Chavot Rami. Yes, you're not going to let me get away with like just reading through very quickly and like, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I just didn't understand because the way it was drawn, they were overlapping and we had talked about mufuvanot.
Right.
And as we're talking about in our sugya with the skach and with the tuma, talking about filling it in to make it a single roof. Over here, I'm talking about connecting two poles. So by definition, the two poles I'm connecting are overlapping. So you're asking, well, I thought Chavot Rami is only filling in blank space. That's your question?
Yeah.
That's a good question, actually.
Why do you even want them to be one Korah? Like,
well, I need one Korah to permit carrying, and I need that the Korah is strong enough to accept this brick.
Right.
And I combine the two to make it one stronger Korah. That's the question. So we seem to be applying the rule of Chavot Rami. The problem is, I mean, I guess the answer to Tanya's question is that over here, it's a slightly different type of Chavot Rami. It's Chavot Rami just to show that it's stronger as opposed to fill it in. But the question in our Gemara is that we see that we apply Chavot Rami even though it's not a Tefach. So the Gemara answers, well, we'll only apply Chavot Rami if they are, we'll only apply Chavot Rami if what's it called? If it's within, we're not going to use Chavot Rami. The Gemara's answer is that we're really using Lavod. It's within three Tfachim. It's not based on Chavot Rami at all. Okay, Zoe.
Are we concerned with a Korah? Is a Korah connected to the laws of Ohel? Is that what a Korah is trying to be? Because it seemed when we were talking in the case of Sukkah, we were concerned that this tied back to the laws of Ohel. Nah. But with a Korah, that's not what we're trying to do?
I don't think so. And that is with the Korah. There's a discussion in the Gemara whether Korah works midin mechitza or Korah works midin heker. But I don't think we need the laws of Ohel at all. I don't think the laws of Ohel are bichlal. I don't think the laws of Ohel are relevant in this area. Nonetheless, the Gemara is assuming that the rule of Chavot Rami only makes sense when it's one tefach. And in this case of the Korah, it's not a tefach. That's our question. Right. So the Gemara answers, no, it's not talking about Chavot Rami. We're really talking about the rule of Lava. Okay. Ladies, should have a good evening and happy Hanukkah.
Why did we bring this whole concept up? Just to say
we brought it up. Rav Ashi brings it up to ask a question on what we said. We said that you only say Chavot Rami if it's a tefach, but in the case of Korah, it seems like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda saying Chavot Rami, even if it's not a tefach. So to that, the Gemara answers, he's not talking about Chavot Rami. Come on, he's talking about Lavod. It's unconnected. Okay.
Thank you.
Ladies, you should have a wonderful rest of your Hanukkah. And Amir Tzashem will continue next week. Jasmine, it's nice meeting you. I hope that you enjoyed and I hope we'll continue to learn together. And everyone should just have a wonderful Shabbos and a good evening. Okay.
Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos. Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. Shabbos.
Shabbos. Take care.